Music from Shrug's latest album, it's called Age of Ashes, to kick off our next conversation, because Shrug is going to be participating in a very cool event that's happening Friday night in downtown Dayton. It's the grand opening celebration, art show opening, a concert experience, meet and greet, spectacular. I'm going to call it a spectacular. I know you guys didn't put it in the marketing material, but I'm calling it a spectacular. Of Wells & Co. Custom Tattoos, they're opening their new location in downtown Dayton. We've got a lot of people in the studio right now, but I want to welcome first a guy who's been here before as a musician, but I think this is our first time talking to you in your business owner artist role.
Yeah.
Chad Wells and Michelle Wells.
Hello.
Also heavily involved in this wonderful venture. So you guys have had the business, the shop in Vandalia for many, many years. What inspired you to kind of bring it back home to downtown Dayton?
Well, you know, I kind of grew up in the Dayton tattoo scene and in the Dayton music scene. And though I really liked having a private studio very close to where I live, I felt like I was sort of a satellite away from the art scene. So when I wanted to stay involved in the local arts, I kind of had to ship myself, though it's only a 10-minute drive, I sort of had to bring everything into town. And I really like the fact that Dayton has such a rich and vibrant arts community, and we have all the First Friday events and things like that. So when I decided that it would be a good idea to expand my business rather than staying in Vandalia and trying to do it there, I decided to go back to where the action is and come downtown. And through the Downtown Dayton partnership, we were introduced to the developers who are putting together the Fireblocks District down there. And they had a vision that was very congruent with the Wells & Company vision of sort of offering a higher end service. It just all sort of worked out, and it's just a perfect fit. So that's kind of what got us down there. We've got some great partners that are kind of backing us and helping us along the way, and a house full of fantastic artists, new artists, as well as the people that were with me in Vandalia. And it's a good team.
It sounds like being downtown, You definitely created a vibe and an atmosphere around your shop in Vandalia, and it sounds like coming back downtown is going to allow you to expand on that vibe and really bring the community in a different way beyond just coming and getting a tattoo or coming along with their friend or something like that.
Absolutely. It was a big deal for us to bring in local artists and craftspeople to build the space. We really wanted to open up to the tattoo community. We're even opening our doors to a few local artists who are opening another shop very nearby us. And they're going to be tattooing out of our shop until they get open. It's 25 years into tattooing. It's not about competition for me. It's about doing something great for the community. So we brought in Jeff Weissong from Dayton Reclamation to do a lot of wood artwork and installed reclaimed wood and stuff like that. And we had Josh Flory from Ink and Hammer, who's a fantastic hand sign painter doing really old-timey window glass painting and stuff like that. So he did a 23-carat gold gold leaf window dressing for us. And then we invited Jennifer and the rest of the artists for our first art show to do a photography show. And, It's definitely all about the community and trying to bring it in. We've got great food and drink for the show.
We have Lily's Bistro is going to be doing food for us. We have Twist Bakery is going to be doing cupcakes for us. And then,
Toxic Brewing.
Toxic Brewing will be bringing in some beer to enjoy as well. So it'll be a good time.
Awesome. And that's happening Friday night,
this Friday. Yes.
Right there in the heart of downtown Dayton. We've got a link up to all the information. Now, we're talking about the art show, and we've got some of the artists involved in the house as well. But I want to ask you guys really quickly, Chad and Michelle, in building the space, you have both tattooing going on as artwork, obviously, and then you also decided to have gallery space as an ongoing part of your shop and your business. Was that just kind of a natural decision as you grew into this space, or was that something that kind of came later in the process as you were deciding on making the move?
We definitely wanted to bring in local artists into what we did, and then when we found the space, it just lent itself
to it. It's the perfect space for it.
Yeah, and we looked at several spaces, and any other space might have been a different approach. There was we originally were going to go into the old MJ's space, which is like right across the street. It's two or three times bigger
it's
than
huge.
The space we were in. We were going to build tiny houses for all of the artists with
pitched roofs
and like garage door things that went up that people could sit under, and all this crazy stuff, and a faux Parisian cafe with like clouds and a barista in the front. And there would have still been local art in that, but I don't know that we would have done the gallery thing. It would have been more of this weird tattoo mall or something like that.
Tattoo mall. I like that.
So that was a far too large of a vision that I had there. And we looked at some other spaces, and when we walked into the space that we walked into, it felt like a great space for a gallery. It's high. I think the ceilings are like 18 feet high. Amazing wall space. And, you know, there tends to be a movement in tattooing to go for small spaces and just cram as many artists as you can into the space. And everyone who's tattooing and getting tattooed is right up in each other's business. And we wanted to have an open-air feel like a classic tattoo shop, but we also wanted to have a lot of privacy and separation. So I decided where the tattoo booths were going to go, and then that left an amazing space for a huge bar to separate the public from the tattooing, but yet still leave viewing space, and these amazing two giant wall spaces right behind that. And though we could have probably filled it up with our house artists' stuff, we thought it would be a fantastic way to take advantage of the First Friday type festivities, do a monthly art show, and I get fickle at home. Even I kind of move things around. I'm telling a story here that my wife should probably tell instead, but she'll go to look for something in the kitchen and it's gone. It's moved. So I'm constantly moving things and needing to see the space morph and change. So having a monthly revolving art show was kind of the perfect way for me to do that. And again, bring in the outside community into the space.
Well, I'm sure as an artist, that's got to be so inspiring to be constantly surrounded by...
I have had the best time watching this show go up. The photographs are amazing. I've watched my artists sit at the bar and do sketches looking at these photographs. And it's like they're just the most amazing studies of sort of light and movement. Every month we are going to be over the moon excited, just the five artists and our staff to just be able to look at that all the time, let alone, you know, have a reason to bring in kegs of beer and party. And
all good reasons.
All good reasons. All valid.
Well, I think this is the perfect opportunity to bring Jennifer Taylor, Chris Korn, and Gary Mitchell into the conversation. All three amazing photographers who don't work exclusively in, but I know your work, all three of you, very well in your music photography, your rock and roll photography. Jennifer, you're curating this show. Tell me a little bit about sort of how you started to tackle putting this together.
Well, actually, it started out a few months ago when I actually asked Chad to give me my first tattoo. I have a nautilus shell on my wrist now, a few months later, and it's a symbol of evolution and change and trusting life's rhythms. So that was actually the beginning of a conversation where Chad responded, "Hey, I was actually about to approach you about something. I've got a few projects in mind for you." That's the best way to start a conversation,
that's the
right?
Way all good things start. I feel like
I
you and I have had those conversations.
I'm glad you called, Jennifer. I have plans.
I think the best things in Dayton happen with that opening line.
Yes. So you know, he had me in mind for a few merchandising opportunities and also asked if I would be interested in curating a show to coincide with the move of his tattoo shop. And I said, of course, I would love to. And I jumped at the opportunity and said that I thought the perfect thing, given that Chad is a tattooed rocker, would be to be a show about tattooed rockers. So, and it kind of lends itself to a lot of different subgenres of the rock community. So we got a nice variety of musicians in there.
Excellent. Chris and Gary, you guys, and Jennifer too, rock photography, it takes a special eye to be able to capture these moments and these personalities and these characters behind the music. In choosing the work that you're showing at this art show, what were you kind of focusing on, or what really stood out to you as the piece or the pieces that you really wanted to showcase for this particular theme?
One of the biggest things, since it is a tattooed rockers focused event, was first going through and looking through photos that I had where you could actually see people's tattoos, because I had a bunch of stuff that just a lot of live rock stuff that didn't really have visible tattoo stuff. So having to kind of go through and pay attention to that, which is really something that, I don't know, it kind of took me out of my usual space of what I look for and photos that I want to put up and show to people. And
yeah, I was in the same situation. I have a million pictures of bands playing, but not very many good ones where a tattoo is visible. So the three pieces I'll have in the show have all been done very recently with the show in mind. One's a live shot, and a couple are studio shots.
And did that make you all kind of see your work differently, because you were taking, in most cases, work that had already been made, and sort of looking for this one element in it that you weren't focusing on when you made the work? Did that sort of give you a different insight or a different view into some of your prior work?
It definitely did for me. It's because, like I said, that's, it's weird having guidelines, because normally it's just me being like, here's a bunch of photos that I took. You can look at them. Hopefully you like them. And going into it with a guideline of, well, it needs to have visible tattoos and be a shot that I like and want to show people.
Yeah, I had actually approached a friend of mine about doing some shots in the studio, and they declined because their sleeve was not quite finished, and they didn't want a picture of it when it wasn't finished. So, I like the pieces I've got in the show. I think, one's going to be the showstopper, obviously, and then a couple others are nicely dramatic.
And in talking about Gary, you showed me some of the work that you're going to have in the show right before we went on the air, and you've got some posed photos, you know, some studio shots, as you said, and we've got some live shots in there as well. Jennifer, in sort of putting together the whole mix, what were you thinking in terms of the mix of maybe live shots as opposed to posed shots, or was that, were you kind of leaving that up to the artist to decide as they were bringing you work?
I kind of played it by ear, and then I first took what we had and then saw that, you know, most people don't have photos of tattooed rockers for some reason. I don't know. I don't get it. I mean,
you had plenty.
I, for some reason, have tons of shots of tattooed rockers. I don't know. But they were actually gracious enough to work with me to create exclusive content for this show. So,
oh, that's nice.
Yeah, so Bill Cunningham actually kind of came out and said, I have a lot of great stuff. And Bill was invited to the show, obviously, on his merits as a photographer by Jennifer, but also because he had done the photo of Todd Widener on the cover of the latest Shrug album, which has a very nice visible tattoo that I did at Wells & Co. Custom Tattoos. And, but Bill had no other work in his portfolio, really, that had even a peaking tattoo. So, you know, Jennifer came up with the idea that, you know, maybe he could shoot some work that was exclusively new work for the show. And I turned him on to Mitch Mitchell, Louis Lerma, and he did some amazing stuff with these guys that is, I mean, they're just phenomenal posed pieces that I think really capture a certain generation of Dayton rocker that they were my introduction to Dayton rock. You know, these were guys that I was a young kid seeing on stage but whether you know these people or not, like, it completely tells their life story. And I think all of these artists and photographers in this show do that with their work. It's not just a fleeting moment. It's you know, Chris captures things that are in motion. Like, Chris's photographs are super kinetic, and there's a lot of movement, and there's a lot of light. And so he's telling the story of this sweaty, fast thing that's happening. Jen tends to capture things with this rich, deep black and white. And there's some color work from Jennifer in the show, too, that's phenomenal. But she captures these beautiful, deep black and white moments that just cast, you know, I'm in some of these pictures, and they looked cool when I was there, but they didn't look that cool. Like, she has a way of really creating a great composition look. Gary Mitchell's, you know, a local photography legend. His stuff is phenomenal. His nudes are artistic and tasteful and beautiful. And to see him focus specifically on tattooed rockers is like a step further into what he does, which is to sort of capture these people in a moment of strength or weakness or whatever it is. And all of the stuff in the show tells that story. Jan Underwood also has three pieces in the show from a Dementia Precox show. And so it's again, early Dayton music history. Well, I call it early Dayton music history. I guess if you're talking to somebody 20 years older than me, it's not that early. But it's about the moment. Like, you can feel the sweat and the movement in these images. And if you've ever been hugged by Eric Pirtle, you can smell specifically Eric Pirtle in some of these pictures.
Buddy. Come here, I love ya.
So, but it's really interesting to see all of these artists look at their work in a different way, look specifically for those elements or specifically, you know, create new work with those elements in mind. And also, none of the photographers that are in the show are heavily tattooed people. I don't know.
You don't know that.
Yeah, well.
That's true.
Shh. But, you know, nobody's a heavily tattooed person. And so it's when you see photography that's created within the tattoo community by tattooed photographers, it's an entirely different thing that they're looking at and that they're looking for. And in these pictures, it's very neat to see the eye of the beholder from behind the camera. So,
well, and it sounds like too, just in hearing you all describe your work and you describe some of the other work that's in the show, there are so many levels of appreciation. You know, there's just appreciation for great art and great photography.
Yes.
And then depending on sort of where you are, you know, age-wise and within your familiarity with Dayton music, there are all these other levels and associations and connections that you're going to have with this work that are going to be very different for very, very different people. And likewise, depending on whether you are somebody who is tattooed or appreciates tattoo artwork, there's another level of connection there. So it sounds like it's going to be a lot to kind of dive into and experience as you're walking through this show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We've got a lot of different styles, ranges of composition, tones, a lot of different messages as well. We've got some stuff that's more sensual in nature, some things that are a little bit more political, And then we've just got your average, you know, rebellious rocker. Maybe not average. Above average rebellious rocker.
That could be a good subname for the show. Body rock. Above average. Sweaty rockers.
When you're putting together a show that has, you know, a central theme but has all of these variations and sort of sub-themes and through lines and things like that, how are you thinking about sort of how the work is arranged in relation to each other and all of that, and in relation to the space itself and what else is going to be happening? You know, it's an art gallery within a working space. So how mm-hmm. the art relates to the work that's happening there every day?
Well, I'm a little bit of a symmetry junkie. So the show is very balanced in that capacity. There's you know, the way a few of the pieces are arranged vertically on either side of the two panels, the two wall panels. I already have gotten some kind words about that. They're like, yes, yes, symmetry, balance, thank you. Like, that's me. People, sometimes the, like, asymmetry just, like, grates on people's nerves. So, whereas balanced compositions can be kind of calming. But let's see. Going back to your other questions. I didn't want to, like, have images that were talking to each other too directly. Like, there's one that is that has a tattoo that says experience on the back. And we do have in the show an art nude. So to have that next to the art nude might have suggested something. I don't know, maybe. So I don't have those next to each other. I'm brilliant.
So paying attention even to the subtext.
And it's not my art nude.
It's a really rhythmic, too, also because it's, and I don't know if Jennifer meant for this to be the case, because Jennifer's been the one that's in charge of sort of hanging and balancing the show.
Thankfully.
There's not a Chris section, a Bill section, a Jennifer section.
Yes.
It's the entire show is one piece of art in and of itself, because everyone's stuff is mixed together. And there's a balance of sort of heavy to thin, black and white to color, and it's very symmetrical coming into the center together, and it reads like, if you've ever looked at how digital music looks in these blocks on a computer screen, it looks like that. It's large mass, small mass, large mass, small mass. So you see this beat or rhythm that flows through the whole show too. So it's a very pleasing show. It's been neat to watch it grow on the walls. And it wasn't, you know, in the week of hanging or 2 weeks of hanging, it wasn't balanced the entire time, because we were sort of getting pieces a little bit at a time. But as Jennifer would come in and move this to the left, move that to the right. And I have to actually give a shout out to my manager, Jordan Adams, at the tattoo shop. He was the up and down the ladder guy for Jennifer through this whole process. And he's very good at moving things an eighth of an inch to the left or an eighth of an inch to the right.
It's important to have that person.
It's super important.
He's one of the most patient individuals I've ever met.
He's a very patient and
yes.
a good dude. So.
He's a good guy.
And that's a terrifying ladder.
It is. We have the scariest ladder in Dayton.
Another feature.
Yes, another feature of the show. We bring that out if we need to for a party game. But it's a really well balanced show, and it's I think it's going to really please a lot of people to see. And
cupcakes.
And Shrug. We've got Shrug.
And Shrug.
And Cricket Bows.
Cricket Bows acoustic.
Yeah.
A little bit of Cricket Bows. Chris is sadly not going to be there that night, so we're missing what I believe to be one of our absolute most important instruments in the band that night. So I'm trying to make him feel a little bad right now, but not all the way.
I feel bad.
Aww.
Chris, Gary, I'm curious for you guys. What's it like when you get to participate in shows like this? I know as an artist, it's really easy to kind of get lost in your own body of work, especially when you're like choosing pieces for a show and all of that. to then see your work in a collective show like this, where it's not the Gary section and the Chris section and the Jennifer section, and it's in there talking to other pieces as part of this whole, what's that like for you guys as artists? What does that kind of do for you creatively as you move forward?
It definitely makes me want to be a better photographer, like looking at everybody else's stuff. And it's one of the wonderful things about the show, and it's amazing that it all works, is because we are, even with the same subject, they're all really very different. And it's like looking at like Bill's black and white stuff is like the blacks are so deep and rich, and it makes me want to do more of that because it looks awesome and it's all really inspiring. And looking at what Gary brought tonight, like, I'm not a big posed photo person. I generally either take pictures of people on stage or of trash in a parking lot.
And look for his gummy bear series.
I have a lot of pictures of the Chase Bank in Oakwood parking lot, actually. But yeah, it's all very inspiring to be a part of it and to look at what everybody else is doing and try and digest it and think about how I can absorb it into what I do.
Yeah, and I'm also interested in just the outside perspective as far as how Jennifer's mixing things up and putting one from column A next to one from column B. And it's an interesting insight into someone else's perspective of my stuff, because I basically, I see it and I put it online, but I don't really see it mixed in with much other.
We are talking about the grand opening celebration for Wells & Co. Custom Tattoos in the Fireblock District in downtown Dayton. It is Friday night. It's the opening for Body Rock, an art exhibition featuring tattooed rockers. And there is also going to be live music. Shrug's going to be there. Cricket Bows are going to be playing acoustic. There's going to be food and drink and cupcakes. And it's going to be amazing. We've got all the details at facebook.com/kaleidoscoperadio. And guys, is there anything else you want people to know before they come out and celebrate and explore the space with you on Friday night?
I just want to thank Jennifer for all her hard work on putting this together, and Chad for making the opportunity for everything to happen. So thanks, guys.
No, thank you.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And go see live music. There's a lot of really good music in this town.
Yes. A lot of people don't know that Dayton's actually compared to Austin in that regard, and in many other music capitals of the country. And it's important for people to be documenting out there and showing the world what we have.
Yeah, it's a rich history. In the Fireblocks, we've got the Funk Museum right across the street from us and Hall of Fame. So Dayton has this rich history from bluegrass to funk to punk rock to alternative music and everything in between. And we've got great photographers out there proving that it's happening, because if there's not pictures, there's not proof. So definitely go see live music, and we'll see everybody Friday night at 7 o'clock.
Thank you guys so much for being here. It was a blast getting the scoop on Friday night's festivities.
Thank you, Juliet.
Check out all the details on Facebook, facebook.com/kaleidoscoperadio. We've got a link up to all of the information. You can connect with our artist as well as Wells & Company Custom Tattoo, their page there, and get all the details for Friday night's grand opening celebration. Let's take a little listen to the electrified version of Cricket Pose.